Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Vermont is undergoing a major demographic shift. There are population projections that show that the number of people under the age of 65 will actually decline over the next 12 years. And at the same time, the number of people over 65 is expected to increase by as much as 50% as the baby boom generation reaches retirement age. Jana Clare is the director of Montpelier Senior Center. She says this new group of older Vermonters is very different from previous generations.
The biggest population that we're serving is from age 65 to 75. So the boomers really are showing up in great numbers here. And we've seen an increase not only in membership, but in demand for programming. So we've had to grow tremendously over these recent years to keep up with that demand.
Monica Hutt is the commissioner of the Department of Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living. She says it's critical to rethink how older people are viewed.
I think we need to build a new paradigm about human development and aging that recognizes the opportunity and the value, and that recognizes the opportunities for a much healthier aging altogether.
What are some of the major issues facing older Vermonters these days? How can the state best respond to these concerns? These are some of the questions we have for our guest today with us, Commissioner Monica Hutt. Commissioner, great to have you here.
So great to be here. Thank you.
And also Angela Smith-Jang, who is the director of the State Unit on Aging. Angela, great to have you here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Monica, you can probably chart the baby boom generation through population, this bubble that's moving, and now we see it moving over 65. We just heard you talk about a new paradigm. What do you mean by that? What needs to be done?
Well, I think it's what needs to be done, and I think it's how we need to think. I think when I talk about a new paradigm, what I really mean is we need to really consider, as we age, all of us, because that's an inevitability, what we want that to look like and how the state reflects our wishes, our desires, our needs. So it's both the high-end kind of services that we might want, but it's also creating the kinds of opportunities to be continually engaged and to really age well in our own communities, in our own homes, to stay healthy, to stay strong, and to know that there's a safety net if we need it. But mostly to be in charge of what that looks like, to take charge of that as a state, as an individual, as communities, and create the options that we want to see, create them now for our aging as that happens.
And is this kind of planning something that didn't really happen that much in the past, and we're putting a sort of a new awareness on it?
I think that culturally we have tended to almost close our eyes to the idea of aging. You know, it's something that's happening to somebody else versus us thinking about it as us, as it's happening to all of us and we want that to look like. And I think there's a unique point in time right now where many of us are still raising our kids and looking at care and support for our parents and imagining what we want our futures to look like when we are done working as much as we're working right now, and wanting that to be something very different from what we would have imagined when we were much younger. So I think there's this fulcrum of thought that I think is really happening right now that's critical. And I don't know that that's happened before. I think that that's unique. I think it's new.
And do you think that this baby boom generation has different needs or is viewing retirement or older age differently than previous generations?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Different set of expectations. I think we are going into our older years much healthier to start with. I think that focus on self and well-being and physical fitness is leading us into aging in a really different way. And I think that on the other side, too, there's the idea that you may be working longer, maybe because you want to, maybe because you have to, and you want to stay healthy and strong to do that. So I think that the expectations are different. People are not looking at retirement as a time to stop. I think that they're looking at retirement as a time to start the things that they didn't get to do.
Angela, your office is in the process of putting together a new state plan on aging, gathering testimony from folks all across the state as you put this document together. And we do have a link on our website at vpr.net to your efforts. So we want our listeners to know that. If you'd like to click on that, you can learn more about this subject. Why do we need a state plan on aging?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, it's a requirement of the Older Americans Act, which is federal legislation that directs each state to develop a state plan and to figure out how to deliver a comprehensive and coordinated system of services and supports for older people in your state. We've been doing a state plan for a number of years, but I think what's new and exciting about the state plan we're working on right now is that we're coming to it with this new paradigm of considering the full spectrum of Vermonters who are aging. So both those who need support and assistance, as well as those who are aging actively and want to stay engaged. So looking at a whole host of opportunities to really do that as a state. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to consider what people's needs are, how those are changing given our changing demographics, and how we look towards the future to really do that well.
And so maybe you could be a little more specific in the types of information that you're looking for. For people who are listening today, what do you want to hear from?
I would love to hear from people about how they're thinking about planning for their older years. So what do they need to be able to stay independent and live as they choose, whether that's in their own home or in a different setting? What do they need to be able to stay active? How do they want to stay engaged? It can be very different for different people depending on where they're at in life. If they want to stay working, but want to do that in a different way, what do they need to be able to do that? What kinds of things do they need in their community? Is it different options for housing? Is it different options for volunteering? Is it services like classes and exercise and things like that? So it really mm-hmm. could be a range of things. And we really do want to hear voices from across the generations, really, because we know not only do we have an aging population, but we have a growing number of people who are providing different kinds of care and support for older Vermonters. So a growing number of family caregivers of all ages, too.
Today in the program, we're looking at the state plan on aging. Your thoughts about this big baby boom generation moving into retirement and the effect that it has on state services, housing, transportation, just a host of areas. Let's talk to Mark, who is calling from Fletcher. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'd like to point out that I'm a retired educator, and what I've seen over the last few years is the gentrification of Vermont as the answer to our tax base, and that it's impacting the agricultural and tourist opportunities for young people that are being forced out. And I know that's another question you've been raising lately, what to do about our young people. And I really feel that they're being ignored and marginalized by pay, lack of health care, and educational opportunities that would keep us from going out of state and cherry-picking outside talent when we've ignored our own native young population that can't survive in that kind of environment. The kind of taxes and mm-hmm. infrastructure for our aging population is not being compensated in any way for the growth of our younger generation at all.
Okay, Mark, we appreciate your phone call. Mark raises a lot of different issues, Monica, and when I heard him talk about healthcare, I was thinking there are going to be a lot of healthcare needs as this huge group of Vermonters moves through retirement. Are we ready for that? Do we have the healthcare base that can respond to what these needs are going to be?
So I think that Vermont is really strong in having the infrastructure in place. I know that our hospital systems are really paying attention to this demographic, and we've got some extraordinary community partners and providers. So I think when you look at community-level delivery of healthcare services, you know, we've got our home health agencies, we've got area agencies on aging, we've got our non-medical providers that are all part of that package. So I think that the infrastructure is there, but I'm really struck by Mark's comment because I think he hits on a really important note. We need, you know, the human capital to be a part of Vermont to make that infrastructure work. It's there. It exists. It's robust. People are dedicated to a community level delivery of care for health and supports and services. But we do need young people. We need people of all ages to be engaged in actually providing that. So maintaining the balance of bodies in Vermont is absolutely critical. Mark's right about that.
And do you think we have enough geriatricians and the support staff for this older population?
I will tell you that I think that that is one of our biggest gaps. I think that there are not, and I don't think that Vermont's unique in this. This is a national trend, absolutely. There are not a lot of young medical students that are necessarily going into geriatrics. I know I was on the show a little while ago, and Dr. Mike LaMontia was on with me, and he's a geriatrician, newly come to Vermont and director of the Center on Aging there. And he certainly is looking at medical students and trying to really convince them of the power of that work, because I don't think we have enough. I think that that's true, and I think that that's true across the country.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Rob in Burlington. Hi, Rob. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My comment is I completely agree with Monica and Angela's paradigm shift that Vermont, yes, we're old, but why don't we create programs where it's the best place to grow old in? And a question I have for both of them is, I looked through the current plan on aging, and in 19,000 words, it only addresses Alzheimer's and related disorder 5 times, and that's currently a huge economic and burden to our healthcare system also. And with the growing trend of that disease in the state, I think we need to address that a little bit more specifically in our state plan on aging. So thank you very much.
All right, Rob, thank you very much. Angela?
I really appreciate that comment from Rob, and I agree. I think we do, in our next revision of the state plan, add more specifics around Alzheimer's and dementia. There's a lot more that we could do in looking at education, both starting with early detection and diagnosis up through providing support for families and caregivers as the disease progresses. So I think that is definitely something that we'll be looking at, trying to figure out how we can do more within the plan and beyond.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk to Steve calling from Shrewsbury. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Well, I think that it's very important that anybody and everybody, no matter what their age is, particularly boomers, as a longtime healthcare worker, I think it's very important for them to fill out advance directives for healthcare so that their final wishes would be known and to have a free discussion with that with their families.
Steve, that's a great point, Monica. That sometimes can be a difficult discussion topic, but one that is very, very important.
I couldn't agree more. I will tell you quite honestly that it's, you know, even on a personal level, it has raised that question for me and my husband. We've been talking about that a lot. I think that Steve is right, and it fits right into that new paradigm. Take control. You know, what do you want this to look like? What do you want your aging to look like? What do you want your dying to look like? It's not something that we can or should be in fear of. I think it's really trying to take ownership and making sure that your family knows what you want, because families get put in this position of caregiving and then feel like they are trying to do the best that they can for family members, and to know in advance what somebody wants and how they want things to play out is so critical. And it's critical to making that experience be as holistic and as as respectful as you would want it to be, and what we want for ourselves, what we want for our family.
Right. And I would just add that in addition to really needing to ensure that people take advantage of advanced directives, in addition, we need to be able to raise awareness around options around end of life, like hospice. Vermont has a low utilization rate of hospice, which is a really wonderful service for people who, at the end of their life, to support them and their families during that time. And so that's another area where we could do more.
That's an excellent point.
Linda and Vernon posted on our Facebook page, and I have to believe that this is an issue facing lots of people who want to stay in their homes but are having trouble doing that. And Linda wrote us, I want to age in place in my own home, but I need someone to help with yard chores that have become too difficult for me, cutting bushes, hedges. I can't climb on a ladder up two stories anymore to do storm windows. I've asked our high school, but no young people seem to be interested. This has got to be something that lots of folks are facing, just the whole maintenance of their house, that they no longer can do some of those very essential chores.
Yes, there are so many answers or themes that you can explore just in that one simple conversation. So I think, first of all, just this concept of multi-generational communities and communities kind of stepping in to take care of each other and themselves, I think is so important. How can you utilize volunteerism in any small community to make sure that each member has what they need to stay safe, to stay strong, to stay at home? There is an amazing model, and this bridges right into the next theme, which for me is housing. And how do we do housing creatively in the state of Vermont when you're thinking about aging in place and staying in your own community? There's a great model called the Village Model, or sometimes called the Beacon Hill Model, which has just started to take root in Vermont. Cambridge is the first village organization. And it's a group of individuals who have come together to say, we want to stay in our homes. We want to stay in community with each other. How do we create what we want, what we need? Who can offer to drive? Who can offer to do yard work? Who's got a young grandchild who can come and do that for the rest of the group and we'll pay him a little bit? I mean, it's this idea of whatever you might want it to be, you're agreeing to continue to cohabitate in a community in your own homes and support each other to do that. Also, HomeShare Vermont. We've got HomeShare Vermont and HomeShare Now, two extraordinary organizations that set up home sharing opportunities. I would love to see us expand that further in the state. Right now, they're not geographically all over, but the work that they do and the partnerships that they create between folks who want to share a home and folks who want to stay at home are extraordinary.
Yeah, and I would say that this was a request that came up again and again in when we did a statewide needs assessment mm-hmm. of older Vermonters last fall. We asked people what they needed to be able to age in place, and home modifications and maintenance and light housekeeping and all those simple things came up for many people. And it's interesting because I'm looking across New England, where we're seeing this aging phenomenon in New Hampshire and Maine and other states where they're grappling with these challenges as well. And there's a lot of small nonprofit or grassroots volunteer organizations cropping up across the region, helping with these kinds of things in which there isn't really a state or federally funded service, you know, or program designed to do that. So people are taking it upon themselves to figure out how to do that in community. And it's really great to see. And I'd love to see how we could support expanding those kinds of things.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today we're looking at the state plan on aging, looking ahead to the baby boom generation moving through Vermont. What kind of services and needs will this group of generation of Vermonters want and need? And trying to do some planning for that so that their lives can be as successful as possible as they age in Vermont. Let's talk to Bill in South Hero. Hey, Bill. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I was recently talking with my primary care physician. By the way, I am 80, and I was talking to him about the access to the death with dignity law that we have here in Vermont. And he told me that I was too healthy to anticipate being able to access that opportunity because I don't have anything wrong with me that will be a good prediction of that I only have 6 months to live. I was wondering if the state could do something, the legislature maybe, to ease the access to that law so that we can plan better. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay, Bill, thank you very much. Monica?
Well, that is a huge question. You know, Vermont, I'm sure you all will remember, and Bill, you'll remember as well if you were watching it. That was a very challenging bill. A lot of challenging conversations happened around that. And I think it's a really important question. First of all, congratulations on being so healthy that your doctor doesn't think you need to worry about it, because that's pretty extraordinary and pretty wonderful. I'm feeling a little flustered, to be honest with you, because I think it's one of those things that creates emotions on sort of both ends of the spectrum. I love the idea that Vermont is helping people to make choices about that and to be proactive and to be in charge of how that works. And then, of course, the other side of me, the professional side of me, is wanting to scream, hey, I want you to stay healthy as long as you can. I don't want you to even be thinking about that. So I think it's something that we need to keep thinking about. I appreciate you raising it because I think that the idea of dying is a part of this natural human existence that we have, and we can't be afraid of it. We do want to think and plan about how that happens for us, and I applaud you wanting to be ahead of that curve, for sure.
Let's talk to Steve, who's calling from Essex. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm actually setting up the home show at the Champlain Valley Fair, and I own a local landscaping business. And my comment slash question is, so we've already incorporated one day a month to help out seniors in the community to give our services for free for these smaller jobs that need to be done. And I'm actually thinking about installing a sliding fee scale. So I'm curious at how small enterprise can maybe help this issue. We're willing to do it, and I've talked to some other people that are willing to help as well. So, you know, any way that we can get involved, we'd love to. So is there any way to get involved in that more?
Okay, Steve, great idea. Angela, what do you think?
We want his number.
I love that Steve called in with that idea. I think that's fabulous. I think we definitely need to be utilizing all resources and all sectors in working on managing this together. So definitely small business has an important role to play and we would really welcome that, and I think there's lots to explore in terms of how we do that.
Steve, I'll just jump in. You know, definitely give a call to the Department of Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living. We would love to help organize some conversations in whatever communities you and your compatriots represent, and see how we can help those communities organize you to be part of a volunteer network. There are volunteer networks across the state in every community, and we could certainly get you hooked up with those and have them, you know, use you as much as you possibly can be used. I think that would be a tremendous value to the state.
Angela, we got an email from someone who looks at our whole transportation situation, and we don't have a lot of public transportation in Vermont, and how difficult it is for an older person to afford to have a car and to drive, and how that can really isolate folks. And so their plea is, we need more services. What we have is simply not sufficient.
Well, I would agree with that comment that we don't have enough transportation options right now to meet the growing need for public transportation. And it is also something that came up as a number one concern in the statewide needs assessment that we did last fall, because people recognize that in order to be able to remain independent, they need to be able to get where they need to go. So I think we, in our state plan, we are calling out the need for creative options and creative thinking around transportation, given that federal and state funding resources just aren't enough to meet that need. So there are a lot of sort of grassroots, volunteer-based transportation networks forming in different places, and I think we need to look at those and see what's working and what we might be able to replicate in other places, and really take an all-hands-on-deck approach to improving transportation.
We want our listeners to know that there is a link at our website at vpr.net for the whole state plan, so you can take a look at it. We'll also put some information about how to contact the department there as well. So go to our website and you can get all sorts of information on this subject. Let's talk to Pat in Randolph. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. After dealing with aging parents myself, my question is, to what extent will the state plan address a couple of important issues, affordability of assisted living specifically? Medicare is hard to apply for. But also, for those who may not have planned well for their retirement, what kind of financial planning assistance or other resources are available to figure out how they're going to make ends meet? Thank you.
Monica, what do you think?
Big questions. So a couple of things that Pat just said. The affordability of assisted living, I think that she's really hit the nail on the head. If you're talking about a population that's going to come into a place where they've got a fixed income, you know, how do we support that and help that stretch? I think Angela talked a little bit, and we've mentioned a couple of times, some sort of creative housing options that we need to start considering, because assisted living can become really pricey. I think I had this conversation recently with somebody. I think that if you are extremely wealthy in the state of Vermont, this is something that isn't going to be an issue for you. And frankly, if you are from a socioeconomic sense very poor, you know, Medicaid is a huge support in that arena for assisted living and care. In the middle is a place that I think as a state we really do need to focus, and it's a struggle for people because it can be a very expensive it's very expensive when you're combining housing and care at the same time. I think financial planning, I was really happy to hear Pat talk about that. You know, I think that that's something that we need to think and talk a little bit more about as a state. I know that there are some folks who have purchased long-term care insurance, and that's something that can be really helpful. And then other people who I've heard say it's actually not as helpful as we would like it to be. And I think that that's something that I would love to see us think and talk about as a state a little bit more, in the same way that we focus on asset development for folks that are in poverty. I think that really thinking about how to utilize resources into the future and help people to buy into things or to plan for things like retirement a little bit more actively and aggressively is critical, because it's never going to be that state and federal government will be able to do all that needs to be done.
And I would just add, too, there are a couple of the area agencies on aging that offer money management volunteers who will work with individuals around their budget if they haven't, you know, planned in advance, but now they're trying to figure out what their options are. They'll work with them around bill paying and the basics like that, but also around options for long-term care planning and what the feasibility is of those.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Cecilia, calling from Windsor. Hi, Cecilia. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. One need is for local lists of reliable people to come and help, house cleaners, people who shovel snow, and so forth. You know, part of my concern is for those who have increasing dementia but are trying to stay in their homes, you know, mobility issues and all that, you know, those kind of seniors, and I'm becoming one of them, are much more vulnerable to exploitation and, you know, people robbing them and, you know, not showing up and just, I've had so much trouble, I've pretty much given up. Trying to get help. It's a real need. I mean, you can easily have some very discouraging experiences.
Cecilia, thanks very much for your phone call. Monica, I have to imagine this happens for a lot of folks, the exploitation financially and otherwise of older Vermonters. It's a group that a lot of people prey on, and mm-hmm. and it's a serious problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So part of the Department for Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living is also Adult Protective Services, and so we do a lot of work around investigation of abuse, neglect, and exploitation. Recently, we have started partnering with the Attorney General's Office, with COVE, the Community of Vermont Seniors, and with Orca Media here in Montpelier, actually, to do some scam prevention work. We've been producing some videos and putting those out into the public space for people to just learn a little bit more about prevalent scams and ways to protect and prevent them and protect against them, trying to kind of raise the awareness. Cecilia's point is well taken. People can be more vulnerable, and we can all be vulnerable at different points in time, right? It's certainly not only a factor around aging, but certainly there is a lot of targeting of those of individuals that are home during the day and picking up the phone, and it can get really complicated. So I think when in doubt, people should stop. You know, don't do anything. Do a little bit of research. Do a little bit of thinking. The Attorney General's Office has a call-in line for scam prevention kind of information so that we can share that when we know there's a scam. There was a scam recently in one part of the state, and we put out some information just to make people aware. It's a great point.
And Angela, I have to imagine that the central theme that I hear both of you talking about today is let's plan better for what is going to come here rather than sort of haphazardly enter this phase of our lives. What do we want? What do we want this part of our life to look like? And what can we do to try to make that happen?
Right, exactly. And so I think thinking about planning at an individual level for each of us as we age and our families, thinking about that together, and then thinking about planning as a state in terms of policies, programs, services, a comprehensive system. I think we can do a good job if we are really intentional about that and we work to maximize resources across all sectors and communities.
And Monica, this is a conversation that a lot of families should be having, younger members of the families, older members of the family, so that everybody knows they're on the same page.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think this is a joyful, exciting conversation to have as well. I mean, it isn't about fear or worry always. It's really a part of just imagining how your family is going to keep moving forward and morphing into the next phases. It's fun.
Well, we've been discussing some of the issues facing older Vermonters today. As the state puts together an aging plan, there's a link to that plan at our website. Take a look at it. Many thanks to our guest today, Monica Hutt, the Commissioner of the Department of Disabilities, Aging and Independent Living, and Angela Smith-Jang, who is the Director of the State Unit on Aging. Thanks very much. It's a topic that our listeners are very interested in.
Thank you for having us. It's been a great opportunity.
Thank you very much.